Flip, 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 flip.
Flip Weekly!
What is up, flippers? Matt here. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. This is a podcast where I go to thrift stores and garage sales. Not so much garage sales lately, but thrift stores. And I walk out empty-handed, maybe 9 times out of 10, but it's that 10th time. It's that 10th time where we find something that's worthwhile, or at least find something worthwhile posting about on the Flip Weekly newsletter or talk about on the Flip Weekly podcast. Now, I'm not somebody that goes into a thrift store and picks up what's a men's branded polo shirt? Ralph Lauren. No, I think Ralph Lauren is a bit higher market, right? I don't know. I'm not somebody that buys a t-shirt hoping to turn $20 into $40. People do that and they make great money. They make insane money. You know, you can make $500,000 doing that. But I'm not doing that. This is a side hustle. I am looking for items that are unique, that are interesting to me, and hopefully sell on eBay for around $100. I'm not looking for anything less than that, unless it's really cool or I'm invested in some way. Now, I have to apologize if I sound a bit froggy. I think I might be getting sick at like the worst time possible. There's so much coming up. I think like I'm going to need to like start taking the drugs, right? Not the drugs that you find on the shelf either, you know. If you're ever going to a pharmacy, ask for the cold and flu tablets behind the counter because they're the stuff that works. Everything else on the shelf is just like a placebo, right? Like it has honey in it, or it has I don't know, like an essential oil that does nothing. You want the stuff that actually has some sort of drug that works, but yeah, you can't find that at a thrift store. But anyway, yeah, feeling a tiny bit run down. Might have been every single person that I've seen like in the past 7 days in a thrift store, coughing and sneezing. Old people farting too, man. It's fucking disgusting. Just walking behind and just the loudest fucking fart, like, ugh. But yeah, you can't get sick from farts, and, but yeah, I'm feeling a bit run down, but we're going to power through because I'm going to go through what I bought this week, and there's a few cool items. Like, this might be the second time in a row that I found something that I would love to keep for myself if it was in a bit better condition and, factory sealed. But these are items that I've looked on eBay for just to buy to display, and the fact that I've been able to find them in a thrift store, it's like manifesting it without, you know, actually manifesting it, right? Like, I'm not writing in a journal I want to find this. Like, last week I found a Sony CD Walkman, and I mean, I have a factory sealed Sony CD Walkman, so I mean, I don't know, it's really weird. Some of the stuff I want to find, like bucket list items or stuff that I had as a kid, you know, really cool shit that I would love to keep for myself. I'm finding it, but it's just not good enough to keep. You know what I mean? Like, it's good enough to sell, but it just doesn't pass the, I want to display it because, you know, the box is a bit tatty, or, you know, it doesn't include all the contents inside of it. So yeah, it is a bit of a sick joke, right? Finding this stuff that is like almost there. It's almost there. But yeah, last week was a CD Walkman. This week is something that you might recognize if you grew up in the 90s and your parents didn't have that much money, or they just didn't listen to what you wanted for Christmas or were interested in, okay? I'm going to say what it is and you may not recognize it, but I swear to God, if you saw the box and you saw what this thing looks like and you grew up in the 90s or you lived through the 90s, you should know what this is. Now, the company that manufactured this item was called E-Star. Not Easter, E-Star, E-Star. Sort of like an iPhone, but it's E-Star. So not really like an iPhone. And it's a electronic device, handheld. Think a poor man's Game Boy. No, think of a poor man's Game Boy, but then like a poorer version of that. It's called a brick game. This model number is E-23. It would mean nothing to you. But it was basically a handheld portable gaming device, and you played one game on it. You played Tetris. Not even real Tetris. This is like knockoff Tetris. But I swear, like, everyone had this game. I remember sitting at home in the house that I grew up in, pulling this from a shelf and playing this game. You know, it has a sound to it. You know, the blocks come down, you go left, right, you try and get a straight line at the bottom or whatever to make the blocks disappear. I mean, everyone knows Tetris, right? Everyone knows Tetris. So I found this fully in the box for $5. When I got to the counter to pay for it, the old man was like, he seemed really disappointed. I think that he wanted to buy it himself. But yeah, I was able to get it. But if you go on the Flip Weekly newsletter, you'll be able to see a photo inside the box. It just has Brick Game on it. It has a couple of buttons, you know, go left, right, rotate the blocks, turn the sound on, turn the sound off. Very simple, very straightforward. It was developed in the 90s. And the crazy thing is that this item, you would think looking at it that it was like a fucking 70s or 80s product. But this thing was developed at the same time as a Game Boy. You know, when Mario Kart was developed, you have all these like sprites and animations on the screen looking amazing. And then at the same time, you have the Brick Game. And all it does is have blocks raining from the sky. And again, they didn't license Tetris. It's a knockoff version of Tetris. It is such a poor man's Game Boy. And yes, we did have it. I did play it. I don't know if we enjoyed it or if it was just something to do. I know back then, you know, us kids got bored so easily. And I swear to God, as an adult, I don't think I've been bored in like 15 years, right? There's always something to do. I don't think I would have time to play Brick Game, E-Star's Brick Game. But it brings back memories. I sent a photo to my sister saying, like, do you remember this game? And it was just like all caps reply being like, yes, buy it. So I picked it up, $5. It comps on eBay, depending on which model that you get, for between $50 and $100. So when this game was first developed, the E23, again, this doesn't mean anything to you, but just think of like a timeline, right? It started out with just one game, the Tetris knockoff. And then from there, they developed the same sort of console, handheld console, but it had like 8 games in one. And then as time went on, you know, 94, 95, they came up with like 1,000 in one, all these different games, all probably complete shit and all probably knockoffs. And similar to Tetris, you know, this LCD screen, I don't think it would be able to handle any sort of complicated graphics. And now that I'm talking about it, I'm pretty sure this thing came out of the Soviet Union. So yeah, it was completely unlicensed and yeah. So this is the earliest model because it has only one game. Doesn't have, I'm going to guess one of the other games that you could get on this would be like Frogger. If you remember Frogger trying to cross a road as a frog, and then the job is like to cross the road and not die. So yeah, this is the earliest model, and you know, obviously the earliest model could go for more money if it's in good condition, good working condition, and if it's fully boxed, which it is. So I mean, they're all ticks for me, and I think I will list this up for, you know, $99.95, and I think somebody will come along and it will you know, they'll start to think about their childhood and bring back either good or bad memories. But for me, they're all good memories, even though some of them are just thinking of how fucking bored I was to be playing this game. But yeah, this thing is a workhorse. Like, it still survives to this day after, you know, being released almost the same year as I was born, you know. So to still be working just goes to show that the product must have been well made. So yeah, $5 into $99.95. You'll see these I don't know if you'll see them in a thrift store, but if you do see them in a thrift store, I think a thrift store is going to price these as if it's like old technology, as if it's like, it doesn't have any like Nintendo markings. It doesn't have any sort of branding on it. You know, it says E-Star. If you just isolated that logo, it looks like a calculator logo, you know? So this is going to be something that you're going to get cheap unless they know what it is. And then in that case, you know, you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to buy it. But for $5, no brainer, straight in my hands, out the door. I'm sorry to the old gentleman that was working there and he didn't get to take Tetris home. I mean, not Tetris, the knockoff Tetris. And I did play it. I had a go. I played for about 60 seconds. It was just as exciting as I remember it. that was a good buy, and I was really excited to find that. You know, I've wanted one for a while, but just in a bit better condition. The next item is something that I sort of regret buying, even though it is going to find a home and it will sell for at least $100. But I paid up for it, man. Like, it was $35. It was sitting in the DVD section. And, you know, when there's a huge box in the DVD section, I'm going to get my hopes up. I'm going to think that this is going to be good. On the front of the box, It's all black and it has the Diablo logo. Diablo is a game for the computer, and it had a handwritten note on it too saying what it was. It was the third version of this game, so Diablo 3. It said it was unopened, and then it also listed out the contents. You know, it had a book in it, had a soundtrack, it had the game, it had whatever else. I opened it up in the store and had a look, and everything appeared to be sealed and new. Knowing what we know as resellers, you can get more money when things are sealed. And if they're comping this up on eBay, they may be using comps when they're pre-owned, you know, opened. And that's where we're able to make a margin. So I looked it up and appeared to sell for around $100. And I think I wasn't doing my my mass ride in the store, or I think I might have just been like too desperate to pick something up that I paid $35. That might be one of the most expensive things I've bought in a thrift store in a very long time. I don't usually buy stuff that's $35. But yeah, once I added it all up and realized that when I list it for $99.95, after eBay fees, after, you know, the cost of goods, and if I offer free postage, because, you know, everyone else is sort of offering that and the selling rate's around $100, I'm going to be left with like $20 profit, which isn't what I want to aim for. I want to buy something for a dollar and sell it for, you know, $100. I don't want to spend $35 just to make $25 profit. So I think the lesson here is don't get too excited if you see something really cool. You know, always temper expectations. And just because I thought, you know, 35 into 100 sounds good, once you chuck in all those fees, it just doesn't add up to much. And you can sell it on Marketplace or a different selling platform to avoid those eBay fees. But eBay, you know, you have that traffic and the distribution of that they have, you know, the reach is just insane. So something to learn there. When I brought it home too, I opened it up to see if everything was sealed, and 4 out of 5 were sealed. And the main thing that wasn't sealed was the game. And that's the one that you'd want sealed, because inside the game has a game code, and you use that code to like register the game and get updates or download it, something like that. So now I can't sell it as completely brand new. I have to sell it as used, and I have to just assume that that game code has been used too. So that's a bit of a bummer. And I've learned a lesson about that. Don't get too excited. You know, we're all experiencing life here, and we know that we shouldn't get excited about things when we get older. We're getting old. There's nothing to be excited about, especially Diablo 3 on computer. Check it out on the newsletter. See what it looks like. It looks pretty cool, the box, you know. Good packaging and shit, but yeah, it's only going to sell for $100 and make me like $20 profit. Now, the next item is actually a set of 4, and I found it in the thrift store when I found the brick game. Is that what it was called? I've forgotten the name already. Yeah, no, it's brick game. Such an amazing name, right? Brick game. Anyway, set of 4. I paid $14 for the set of 4. And do you remember the movie Ice Age? It came out in 2002, and it's an animated movie. It's not a Disney Pixar movie. It's, you know, somebody else. I don't know who. And it's based around like a group of animals, like a group of mammals, and they're trying to survive the Ice Age, you know? Makes sense. Well, I remember when this movie first came out and I went to see it in a cinema, and I was sort of concerned at the beginning, you know, as a kid, because one of the characters who's this squirrel named Scrat, he is hunting for a nut in like, you know, snowy mountains in this ice age where food is scarce. And the dude didn't talk for like 25 minutes. I swear to God, this guy is just running around looking for this nut for like 20 minutes. And I was worried, like, is this like a dialogue-free movie? Am I not going to hear? I mean, the irony is, I'm like, why aren't the animals talking? It's like, dude, animals don't talk. But anyway, I found 4 of these sort of posable figures from Ice Age from 2012, and they're from the 4th movie. Ice Age had sequel after sequel. They're actually getting a new movie in 2026, next year. So it's still highly relevant, but from the 2012 figures are apparently quite rare. You know, at that time, Ice Age had collaborations with McDonald's. They had Happy Meal toys. You know, this it was everywhere. I was surprised to learn that the series, like the franchise, has grossed something like $6 billion and is one of the most popular of all time or highest returning of all time. There was some insane statistic like that. So yeah, these figures, they're decent size. They're all poseable. You can move their arms and legs. And there's four characters, and they are, I guess, four of the main characters. I don't remember the movie that well. I do remember the main character, Sid, who I think is a sloth, is he? I think he's a sloth. There's Sid. I'm doing this without looking at their names. Okay, let's just see if I remember it. There's Sid the sloth. There's a woolly mammoth, and his name's Manny. There's Scrat, who's the squirrel. Sabretooth squirrel is what he was referenced to online. I don't know if sabretooth squirrel is really a thing. I don't know the logistics of that either, if a sabretooth tiger fucked a fucking squirrel. But and then the other one is Diego, who is a sabretooth tiger. So I don't know, maybe they're related in this really weird world. But all four of those I got for $14. The irony is that the one that was the most expensive, the woolly mammoth, he's the biggest, so he got the highest price tag. But in reality, this thing is worth less than the other three. So I got those four figures. Didn't know they were rare at the time. I honestly picked them up without looking at the comps, just because they feel high quality. They're, like I said, they're decent size. Let me measure the sloth real quick for you. Oh, wait, I can see the eBay sold comp. 22 centimeters. So he's a decent size, highly detailed too. And I don't have the sold comp images to show you. I mean, if you're looking at the images on the newsletter, I promise you I'm not lying. When I did my comp research, I wrote it all down. I just jot notes when I'm doing comp research, and then later on I do it properly. The sold comps disappeared for some reason the next day. I was looking for them to take screenshots for the newsletter, and they were gone. I don't know what the fuck happened to them, but they were gone. So call me a liar, whatever. I wrote down the listing prices and the sold comps, and these things, all four, are worth a lot of money, okay? When there are active listings, there's very few. The ones that are listed on eBay, they all say like rare. They all say like hard to find. One of them, Scrat the squirrel, I couldn't find him anywhere online either. So, you know, you can make up a price, or you can just base it on the others. But anyway, the numbers. Sid the sloth was $64 plus $12.50 postage. So if we add that up, that's $76.50. So that's about an $80 figure. Diego the saber-toothed tiger was the exact same. I think this was all the one person's listings and sold comps. Manny the mammoth was $29.14.50 post. And then Scrat, you could just make up the same price as the other two from the beginning. So all of that combined, for the entire lot, that adds up to $270. So you could list this for $269 free post, and it wouldn't be unrealistic based on the comps. Now, us as resellers, we have to really think about how we're going to do this. You can list it as a lot. At the end of the day, it's four little action figures. I mean, not little, four decent sized action figures for $269. And I think that's just a lot of money. And I like to pull the trigger on that, you know, that is hard. You know, we're in a cost of living crisis, and people can't afford to buy Easter eggs. I mean, I definitely can't. I worked out the other day, if I bought five Easter eggs for my family, it would be like $90. The issue is that, are we going to list as a lot or list them individually? So $64 plus $12.50 for one of them. It's a lot of money, yes, but it doesn't sound that bad compared to, you know, $270 for all four. So what are we going to do? That is what I'm still deciding. I love the idea of listing as a lot, because you only need one buyer, you only need one sale. And the issue with like doing them individually is I don't want to be left with like the least popular one. You know, it's like picking teams at school when you're playing a sport. You don't want to be left with that one kid at the end. Okay. I don't want to be left with like Manny the mammoth if he's the most unpopular. Yeah, I don't know. If you have any ideas, hit me up. Let me know what you think. I think I'm leaning more towards listing as a lot, just because I want to get rid of them. But yeah, I am open to either. So yeah, let me know. What was that? $14 into a potential $271. That is a deal. Now, the next item is something for Lord of the Rings fans. Something you don't see every day. It was all the way from Ireland. Ireland, yes. Cost $15. If you remember the Lord of the Rings movies, there's a part in, I think it's Return of the King, or the end of the two, no. Yeah, it's in Return of the King, and Frodo and Sam are going through the caves, and they stumble across a giant fucking spider. And that spider's name is Shelob. I fucking hate spiders, man. Cannot stand them. A friend will send me like videos of spiders like on Reddit, the Australia subreddit, where people are like, it's that time of the year again and there's like a huntsman on the wall. I cannot fucking stand that. I swear I have hallucinations sometimes when I'm in bed and I see like my eyes playing tricks on me and I just assume it's like a spider staring like directly next to me. Fuck, disgusting. Anyway, yeah, Shelob's lair is this miniature metal figurine, sort of, I don't know what you'd call it. They're metal minifigures, and it's like this display of Shelob's lair where you build Shelob. They're really small. 32 millimeters is the size of some of the figures, but yeah, you build Shelob, you get like the base of the spider, you chuck in the legs, and then you have little Frodo, little Sam, and I think there's a little Gollum too. So I think that's really cool. And when you're looking in thrift stores and you come across metal minifigures, fuck, I'm having a hard time speaking today, or you come across like the plastic ones, just think of an expensive hobby, because that's what it is. People buy these and they either paint them, they put them on display. And when it comes to a popular topic like Lord of the Rings, you know there's going to be a buyer. So just based on the artwork, I thought this was actually quite old. And it had like an order number on it too. And I was like, yeah, this doesn't look like something you'd buy in a shop here. So I bought it for $15. And when I got home, I could see that it's actually a company in Ireland called Mithril Miniatures. They make a whole bunch of like these metal miniature high quality figures for all these popular IPs, and Lord of the Rings is one of them. I think it looks really, really cool. There is a buyer there. You can buy them brand new from the website still, so they're not out of stock. A lot of the items that I buy are out of stock, no longer being made, but these are still being made. The issue though, if you're wanting to get this, is you're going to have to buy them from Ireland and have them shipped over here. And the pricing is in euros and the Australian dollar is really weak. So they're $36 and 36 euros and 95 cents. Wait, do euros have cents? Is it just 36.95 euros? I don't know. Which is about 63 Australian dollars. And then you add on postage, you know, you have to pay like what, $15 for postage. So they're like an $80 item. So I don't really want to compete with them on eBay. You know, they can sell them brand new. There isn't that many on eBay, not that many in Australia. I figured this might do well on Marketplace, as it's not something you see every day. So I put them up on Marketplace for $50. This isn't one of those, you know, 15 into 100, but I thought it was cool. And I'm always going to pick up things that I think are cool. So I've never seen them before. So they were definitely going to go home with me. The other issue with this sort of metal minifigure and minifigures in general and like those hobbyist painting things, you need to make sure all the pieces are there, because if they're not all there, you're going to have a very, very hard time selling them. So what I do is I look on the sold comps for a listing that says complete. And I looked on eBay, I found one, I looked at the photos and I could see that they laid out the pieces individually and there was 15 pieces. So there was like the base of the spider, it's 8 fucking legs, Frodo, Gollum, whatever, and it was 15 pieces. And then all I needed to do was count them in the store, confirm there was 15. I can then buy it, sell it as complete, and you know, that's what you want to do. When there's only a few pieces, yes, just count it in the store, you'll be fine. I mean, if it's a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and you're thinking about buying it, just, you know, do not. But yeah, these type of items, when they're for hobbyists, in most cases, they're going to be worth a bit of money. Like, just think of the items that they sell at those stores. You know, even like hobby plane kits where they're like scale replicas or scale cars, that can usually go for good money and they're worth buying. Like, I can just picture going to a garage sale and there's a hobbyist clearing out his stuff. And if you find one of these items and you pay $5 for it, you're laughing, right? If they have more than one item, you're going to make a bit of money. So, yeah, keep an eye out for this. Lord of the Rings stuff in general, really good. Really popular IP. Loved it growing up. I haven't watched it in so long, mostly because I'm like, no, now's not the right time. Like, there needs to be a perfect moment to watch it because it's such a great film. All three are amazing. If it came back to the cinema, I'd definitely go and see it. But yeah, one of the greatest trilogies ever made. I've just started watching Star Wars Trilogy 2, by the way. They're re-releasing the third one. The third one of the prequels. I think, yeah. My buddy got tickets to go and see it at the cinema, and he was like, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure, but I haven't seen them. And he's like, well, we're going to have to watch them in the lead-up. So I actually watched The Phantom Menace yesterday at his place, and I didn't mind it, eh? First time ever seeing why everyone gets mad at Jar Jar Binks, because that cunt was in every fucking scene. Don't know if that's as good as Lord of the Rings, but, I mean, if you find Star Wars metal minifigures, if you find Lord of the Rings metal... Oh, this is... I'm finding it so hard to speak. Metal minifigures. Pick them up and tag me in it, because you'll owe me. Now, the other day I created this video that I posted on Instagram. You can check it out there. If you've already seen it, you can skip this little segment here. But I just want to talk about things that you shouldn't be buying at Vinnie's, the Australian thrift store that seemingly likes to import products to sell and then put up out the front of their store no donations. Like, their donations are closed because they have no room left on the shelves, because they've, I'm guessing, tinfoil hat, brought in all of these books, all of these pieces of junk, just junk, shit and rubbish that are filling up the floors, so they can't take donations. There is a bit of a conspiracy here, okay? I want to talk about it just because it makes me like irrationally angry when I see that sign out the front saying they're not taking donations, and then they have all of this space dedicated to just items that nobody would want. And some of these things I've seen in thrift stores going all the way back to like November, and they're still there. Nobody's buying them. They just walk straight past them every single time. Some of us are experienced resellers. Some of us are brand new. But I just want to talk about these items that you just need to glance over, like look straight past, because they're not worth picking up. If they don't sell in a thrift store, they're not going to sell anywhere else, okay? And these first items are just, I mean, this first item has really soured my opinion on not just the movie, but the brand. There's these Disney Pixar Lightyear books. They're like books and jigsaws and like this interactive electronic book. You know those books that you get? It's sort of like a read-along, and on the right-hand side, there's like a panel of electronics. You press a button, it makes a sound. They go back like 10, 15 years, but this is a Lightyear book. You know that Disney movie that came out and everyone was excited about it because it was Lightyear? They thought it was like a standalone Buzz Lightyear movie, but it turned out it wasn't about Buzz Lightyear. It was based on the television show within the Toy Story universe about Buzz Lightyear, who, you know, isn't Tim Allen's character. It's a completely different character in an alternate universe too, not within the Toy Story universe. I don't know. I didn't see it. I think it got panned. I think it didn't do very well at the box office. I'm going to say it didn't do very well at the box office because seemingly all of their merchandise has been given to Vinnie's. I go into a Vinnie's and I see this Lightyear stuff and I get so... I don't know why it makes me so angry, but I see it fucking everywhere, man. And there's two scenarios here, okay? There's two things that either happened. The first is that Disney manufactured too many of these Lightyear products, thinking that the movie was going to be bigger than what it was, and then when it flopped and nobody saw the movie, nobody bought the merchandise, they've just given the merchandise away to Vinnie's to sell for free. Okay, that's the first scenario. The second scenario is that Vinnie's was able to get this merch really, really cheap, thinking that it was going to be a big movie, so they bought it, they imported it, and they've put it up for sale. So there's the two scenarios. I remember seeing this come out maybe November last year. I remember walking into my local and seeing just like a huge fucking pallet of Lightyear books. And I was like, what Like, why are these here? It didn't make sense, you know. This was back when I don't think thrift stores really were doing that, were really like importing their own items. Or maybe they were. I don't know. You know what? They probably were. So out of those two scenarios, what do I think is more likely? You know, I don't know if Disney would give away unsold merchandise, because you just think of your local bakery or your local bakery chain, like a donut shop, that's the only thing I can think of. Like your local donut shop, okay? They have all these beautiful donuts in the store, and when they don't sell at the end of the day, this hypothetical donut store chucks them all away, you know? I don't know. I'm not going to name names. I don't really know any names, but you hear about all the time, right? Like, they just throw out donuts. I say they, but I can't think of any brands. I mean, I don't know. You hear about it all the time, right? And the reason they do this is because if they give away their donuts for free, the perceived value of the donuts is reduced, right? Because the product that's supposed to be like this high quality sort of luxury baked good is now seen as a free item. So they throw them away. And that's what I think Disney would do. I don't think they would give all of their items to a thrift store just to sit there, because, you know, like I said, the perceived value of this movie, of this Lightyear brand, to me personally, has diminished just because I see it here all the time. So I think they wouldn't do that. I think what most likely would have happened would be that Vinny's thought the movie was going to be big. They bought all of this product just before Christmas time, just before a Christmas rush. They put them in all the stores thinking, you know, this is going to be the hot movie. This is going to like run out of the shelves, you know, and it didn't happen. So now they're left, you know, in April of this year with still all of this like Lightyear merchandise that's just sitting there collecting dust. So you go into your local thrift store, in your local Vinnie's, I think you're going to find Lightyear merchandise. You know, I see it in every single Vinnie's that I go into, and every time I see it, I just shake my head. You know, it's taking up floor stock where, you know, where all my bargains are supposed to be. You know, if they're in the book section, like, bring in more books, like, take more donations so I can siphon through those books and find value. These Lightyear books, anything that Vinnie's is seemingly importing, or if there's like 50 of the item, chances are it's going to be junk and you're not going to want to pick it up, because it's just like dead stock that nobody wants. And the fact that it's still there in April is a testament that nobody wants it. The next item is something that a new reseller could get fooled by. All of these photos, by the way, are in the newsletter if you want accompanying photos, because you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. But the next thing that is always in a Vinnie's is like these replica / knockoff products. So there's this, there's these Xbox One controllers, like a video game controller, and they have the packaging that looks similar to an official Xbox controller. You know, it's the green that is associated with the Xbox. The controller looks exactly the same because, you know, they're creating replicas, but it doesn't have any of the Microsoft branding. It doesn't have any of the Xbox branding. It will never say any of that on there because, you know, that would be an infringement of their copyright. But anyone who has heard that video game stuff does well reselling might accidentally pick this up, and it isn't cheap. I mean, it's $10, but you just need to know that when you're buying these items, you need to be looking for brands and logos on the packaging. You know, like I said, doesn't have the Xbox logo, doesn't have the Microsoft logo. All it says on the front is One. So that tells you that it's for the Xbox One. It doesn't infringe on the copyright of Microsoft or Xbox because it's just the word One. That's how they get away with it. If you bought that and then tried to sell it on eBay and you said that it was a Microsoft Xbox One controller, you'd probably get your account flagged for copyright infringement and the listing would come down and you'd be shit out of luck, you know. So best to avoid that sort of stuff. And I mean, you want to be looking for the brand logos. Like, you wouldn't buy a vacuum cleaner that just had the word V8 on it, thinking it was a Dyson V8, would you? You'd want to look to see if you can find the word Dyson on it, because the company wants their branding all over the packaging. They're not going to just say V8 and not say like Dyson, or hype up their brands like Dyson are the best, except, you know, when they're not. But yeah, speaking of brands, the other one is Vinnies likes to sell items that aren't technically infringing copyrights, but they're very, very close. Like, they're selling this plumber cosplay outfit costume. So a plumber costume, and as you can guess, the plumber on the front of it is Mario. Everyone knows Mario. Everyone knows that it's like a Nintendo product, but this isn't. It's a knockoff. You know, Mario has the famous Mario hat. He wears a hat with an M on the top of it. This outfit doesn't have the M on the top of it because that would be way too close to the regular Mario. They're walking a very, very thin line with these products, with this item. So again, if you think video games do well reselling and you saw this guy, you might think, oh shit, it's Mario. No, it's just a regular plumber that looks like Mario. It's like a less Italian version of Mario. And again, if you list this on eBay and you mention Nintendo or Mario, it's going to get taken down. So, and you'll just be stuck with it. This is not something you want to resell. At Halloween time, you know, maybe you could do it. Not on eBay, but like locally on Marketplace. If this outfit was $5 and people were desperate for a Halloween outfit, maybe you could sell it. But, you know, we don't want to be buying items that we might get away with. We want to avoid this. You can't sell it all year round. It's a knockoff. Like, you don't want to be selling that shit. You want to keep everything legit. And again, you want to make sure if you see this Mario, you want to see Nintendo, you want to see Mario. You don't want to see plumber cosplay outfit costume. Okay? Kids, if you buy this for your kid is not going to be happy about it. He's going to have to tell his friends when they say, oh, you're Mario. He's going to say, no, legally, I have to tell you, my friend, I'm a plumber cosplaying and this is my outfit. So that's that. And again, Vinny's also has these stacks and stacks of just toys. It just looks like they're like these balancing blocks. Anything that comes in pallets to a Vinny's is just not going to be worth reselling. If you see it stacked up, just move on. It's not worth stopping by. Don't comp it. It's just not worth your time. And I get so annoyed seeing this because it takes up so much space. And you know, you could be getting like hundreds of other little items to put there that are more interesting and that will sell. But no, they're stacking up this dead stock shit that nobody is buying. And yeah, I honestly think they're doing it themselves too. I don't think that they're getting donated. I don't think they're getting these donated to them, because you see the no donation sign out the front all the time. Would they then have a company contact them and say, hey, would you accept like these 10 pallets full of our balancing blocks? If they're saying no to regular donations, why would they say yes to 10 pallets of building blocks? So I think Vinny's is doing this themselves. I really think they're buying these overseas. They're importing them and they're trying to sell them for, you know, a couple of bucks. And I just don't understand it, you know, like, they get their regular donations for free and yet they're spending money on importing product. Like, make it make sense, right? And finally, it's the famous cell phone cases. I have fucking PTSD from buying these, because last year I put up a poll on Flip Weekly saying that my local thrift store, my local Vinny's, has a mystery box for $15. It was a very, very big box. It was like 15 kilos. Do you want me to buy one just to see what's inside of it? And majority of people said yes. So I bought one, and I really, really wish I didn't, because when I opened it up, it was filled to the brim with just junk shit and rubbish. Like, I thought what would be inside would be like, I don't know, a plush toy, a pillow, a random DVD, a random CD, just like random things that they pick off the shelf. No. It's like they just got the rubbish bin and just poured it into this box. I remember when I was checking out, the lady said to me, you're brave. And I thought, what does that mean? And then when I got home and opened the box, I was like, oh, that's what that means, right? The cell phone cases, look, what are you going to do? You're not going to sell them on eBay. You'll make no money from them. They're going to sit there for years and years and years. I'd love if someone tried, if somebody bought one and put it online and had a counter to see how long it lasted. I honestly think it would take years to sell. When you go into your Vinnies and you see like the huge rack full of, you know, cell phone cases, the huge tubs full of it, don't waste your time. I mean, you could have, you know, the FOMO, the fear of missing out, thinking, what if there's something valuable at the bottom of this box? But I mean, no, whenever I see those cell phone cases and all that sort of shit, I just walk straight past them. I do get that FOMO of what if they've put something else in these junk boxes, but that's never happened. Actually, it's happened once, but it's never really happened that much. So yeah, just all that sort of junk, man. If it comes in like cheap plastic packaging, don't buy it, because I was about to hit my hand like Gordon Ramsay trying to get a point across to people in Kitchen Nightmares. Like, we're here to buy high quality, valuable items, right? High quality, valuable items. If a product is high quality and valuable, they're going to invest in their product packaging, right? They're not going to put their $200 luxury, I don't know, fucking purse or perfume inside of cheap plastic packaging. It's going to be a box, it's going to have nice graphics. So it's really just using common sense to think, oh, is this like a valuable piece of plastic inside? No, it's junk inside of plastic junk. So don't fall for it. I mean, I've said this, I'll reiterate it. It's common sense, but it needs to be said, just because if you're starting out and you think, well, I'm going to dig through everything, just avoid all of this stuff, right? Because you're wasting your time. You want to move on to finding actual good product. You don't want to be wasting your time with this sort of stuff. And yeah, I honestly don't understand the mentality of importing products. Like, even if you get it for 50 cents each and you can sell it for $5, all of your other product is completely free. Like, you're not paying for it unless it comes down to labor costs, the cost of sorting all the products. They want to bypass that by importing them. That could be it, but I don't know. It's just, you're going to turn into like a regular department store then if you're importing products and selling them to people. I mean, not even selling them to people, because no one buys this junk. The decision to do this is, yeah, I don't know. I just know that if I walk past another sign saying no donations and I see half the store being taken up with Lightyear stuff, I'm going to lose my shit. Okay. Please don't tag me in any Lightyear posts on Instagram either. I honestly do not want to see Lightyear ever again in my life. I haven't seen the movie. It's been ruined for me. Vinny's has ruined a Disney movie for me. And now that I've mentioned all this stuff, I bet you're going to start seeing it in the thrift store, and I'll hopefully ruin it for you. And you can get that same sort of outrage I get when I walk past Disney Pixar Lightyear. Now let's get into what I sold this week. And the first item was off to a country that I've never shipped to before, and I don't know that much about. It's off to Hungary. The person has paid close to $100 for what looks to me like a McDonald's toy. Whenever I see an item sell for an amount like this, and then I look at it and I think, who would pay a total of $97.48 for a plush toy of a character from a show that bears the name The Regular Show, or Regular Show? The character is like this meerkat, or I don't even know what he is. He looks like what are those animals called that have like the striped tails? I'm going to look like a fucking idiot when I look this up, but bear with me and I'm going to tell you what he is. Not a meerkat. What is he? What is he? A raccoon. He's a short anthropomorphic. Fucking hell. He's a brown raccoon. He's a brown raccoon. He's off to Hungary. Somebody paid $97 for him. He's dressed in a basketball outfit. I don't know why. I don't know anything anymore. Anyway, this show, it ran for a couple of seasons. I mean, it ran for 8 seasons, which isn't that short for an animated show. But the comps for basically everything Regular Show. Remember, Regular Show is the name of this show. Can get confusing, but Regular Show ran for 8 seasons. Ran on Cartoon Network. And yeah, everything seems to go for a lot of money. If you find the complete series of the show, it goes for $250. for 8 seasons of a TV show, and I think it all is all in one disc too, like or one case. It's not each individual DVD. It's like the complete series just in a DVD. There's also plushes of this with the tags going for $155. There's a backpack going for $100. And if you check it out, if you just Google regular show and check out some of the characters on it, it has its sort of distinctive animation style, a distinctive cartoon style that if you find it in the wild, you'd be able to pick it up and know what it is. I mean, it's a fucking raccoon dressed in different outfits, and it has like, he has like this friend that is some sort of bird with a very, very pointy beak. Anyway, they're something that I look out for now when I find Cartoon Network logos just based on all of these comps in the past. So yeah, just think of Cartoon Network. They have a bunch of shows. Not all of them are worth money, but this regular show is. So I originally had him on eBay for $50, and that was with free post. So for somebody to pay close to $97 for this plush toy, who's 9 inches tall, by the way. He isn't that big. When he's sitting down, he's even shorter. It cost nothing to ship. This thing barely weighed like 150 grams. So yeah, make sure you check out or you Google right now or after this is finished, regular show. Look at the characters, look at the artwork style. Just remember the Cartoon Network logo. And if you find it in a thrift store or garage sale, make sure you tag me. The other thing that I sold this week is something that I really rush to. You know, I've been known throughout my life at rushing things. I like to get things done, even if they're not perfect, which in the past has cost me a lot of money. But yeah, this next item was a NRL Sharks jersey, Cronulla Sharks jersey. I found it for $5 in the thrift store, and I listed it on eBay for $300 because that's how insane the comps were. And I had this persistent buyer on Marketplace, because I always list on Marketplace for cheaper than eBay. I had it on Marketplace for $200, and this guy was like, would you take $150? I was just thinking, you know, I have it on eBay for $300, and I had people watching it. I had like 50 views, 5 people watching it, and I was like, look, mate, it just doesn't make sense for me to accept $150 now, but I'll let you know. And the guy was like, yeah, no worries, just know. This is what he said to me, and maybe is a good strategy for you if you're a Marketplace buyer. He said, just know that if you ever want to sell it to me, I have $150 waiting, ready to buy it. And he also said, I'm happy to travel there. It was like a 30-minute drive. I'm happy to travel there if it makes it any easier to part with. I think he thought I was attached to the jersey. I had no attachment to this jersey whatsoever. I just didn't want to sell it for half price. Now, the other thing about this jersey is that it's from 2001, so it's 24 years old. There weren't actually any active or sold comps for this thing. If you go back to the Flip Weekly newsletter and go to issue number 53, you'll be able to see when I found this jersey, and I talk all about not being able to find comps, not knowing how to really list it. I was able to find like archived Marketplace deals, shit like that. I think there was like a sold comp for like $200 I was able to dig up somewhere. And that was like years ago. So I figured time has passed. There hasn't been any in the past 90 days on eBay. I can just shoot for the moon, ask for $300. Selling for $150 to this guy might not be the worst idea, because that might just be what it's worth. That just could be the market right now. It might not be worth $300. It might not have gone up in price. Could have gone down. It doesn't really matter. I reached back out to the guy maybe a week or two later. In that time frame, he had also sent me other messages saying, do you want to part with it? How's it going? Just keeping in touch, you know, being very friendly. And every single time I was like, no, not yet. And then I reached out to him. I think it was on a weekend. And I think I just wanted some cash in my wallet so I could go out. And the guy's like, when I asked him if he can come any closer to two, he said he'll go to 160. And I was like, fuck it, let's do it. So the guy came out, paid me for the jersey, had a good chat. And yeah, I mean, I guess that is what the jersey was worth, because, you know, that's what it sold for. I didn't sell it beforehand. Nobody snapped it off on eBay for $300. So, you know, that's what the market says, and we'd have to trust the market. Speaking of clothes, the next item is It's a Bundaberg rum t-shirt that I found in a Vinnie's for like $10, and it's sold for $65. But here's what I don't understand. I really don't understand why everything Bundaberg rum that I pick up sells. I don't know who is buying this shit. I love myself, you know, some booze, but you would not catch me dead. You would not catch me dead wearing the logo of the stuff that I drink on my shirt or on any piece of clothing. I don't know. It's not for me. I'm not judging whatsoever. I'm just saying I don't understand it. Am I going to wear a Corona hat? Am I going to like put on a button-up t-shirt with Woodford Reserve bourbon like written all over it? It just seems a bit unusual. This t-shirt though, it was vintage. It was single stitch. It was it sort of looked like a Hawaiian shirt, but instead of like Hawaiian flowers, it was like the Bundaberg rum bear. But dude, these alcohol branded merchandise does so well, especially Bundaberg rum. I've sold so much Bundaberg rum stuff that isn't Bundaberg rum that I would need a fucking liquor license soon if I keep going. Like, this t-shirt was like one of the many items of Bundaberg rum that I found. I found this bottle holder from Savers one time, and it was, you know, you put your bottle on it and it looks like the bear's laying on his back holding the bottle. Sold like instantly on Marketplace. Like, this stuff just goes off. And I know, you know, VB goes off too. Any of these popular drink types, Jack Daniels, I'm sure. I found a Jack Daniels poker set in the thrift store the other day and I didn't buy it, but I looked up comps and, you know, this stuff goes crazy, man. There's like active and sold listings in, you know, leading towards $100, and people are buying this stuff, I guess, like for bars and shit. But yeah, this t-shirt, if you want to check it out, flipweekly.com, check it out. But yeah, if you find Bundaberg rum stuff, I would say buy it. You might not get like a $1 into $100, but you're going to get, you know, like this, 10 into 65. And that's, it's just for a shirt, you know. Shirts are so easy to pack and ship too, and they're out the door, $10, whatever. And yeah, I mean, if I find something cool, Bundaberg rum, I'll buy it. I'll be shaking my head in disbelief whenever it sells. Like, I don't know who's buying this, but yeah. The next two items are Pokemon. And Pokemon just goes crazy. Like, if you see a Pokemon, buy a Pokemon. This, there's always going to be a market for it. And I talked about, this was so recent that I talked about it on the podcast. I found this, like, card holder. It had Eevee on the front, you know, Pokemon on the front. And it's just a place where you put your cards. And I found it for $2. I guess the thrift store people just thought this is like an empty card holder. They probably saw it, opened it up, saw no cards were in it, and assumed it was worthless. But it wasn't worthless because it was made in 2016. It's no longer in print. So this is sort of like it's a rare out of print card holder. And Eevee's one of the most popular Pokemon, I think. I think, you know, it sort of changed. When I was a kid, it was who was it? Charizard, Pikachu, people liked Squirtle and Bulbasaur and all of those. But yeah, now it's like Eevee. I don't know why. Eevee's cute, but it's like a little dog. Like a dog wolf thing, yeah. But yeah, Eevee was on the front. It sold for $50. Bought it for $2. And this is just something quickly I want to talk about is, and I've talked about it before, I think, but the vessels of carrying items, carrying valuable items. So this is a vessel of carrying Pokemon cards. And, you know, Pokemon cards can be worth a lot of money. So this is just the item that carries the valuable item. So think of like old cases for like portable gaming systems like Nintendo's, or think of like even empty makeup bags for luxurious brands, or wine bottle bags, like wine bottle ice bucket bags that feature like Moët logos. You know Moët, the like an expensive bottle of wine, Moët and Chandon. They're all valuable by themselves, but they appear to be nothing because they're technically empty. You know what I mean? Like if you find a bag for that's supposed to hold a bottle of Moët, like in a park, the people that find it in the thrift, like the employees will think, well, this is just an empty bag. Let's put it up for $2. Or this is just like, they get like the Nintendo carrying case and they're like, oh shit, we got a Nintendo. They open it up and there's nothing in there. Like, oh damn, like we could have had a Nintendo. So they just chuck the bag out for like $2 again. that just because they're empty doesn't mean they're not valuable. And this is just an example of one of those times. Like this carrying case, $2 into 50 bucks. So I would just think if you find like an empty, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it rather than like an item that is usually filled that has a valuable item. If it's empty, but it still has that connection to the valuable item, then you're going to want to buy it. Like I found in a thrift store this, the example I used earlier, the Moe & Chandon ice, collapsible ice bucket. It's like this portable thing. You take it with you, I guess, when you're going on picnics. It opens up, has the Moe logo on it, has a carrying handle. You're supposed to put the Moe inside and you can put ice inside of it. It's like this fabric-y thing. And I looked it up online and it was selling for like $80. And in the thrift store, it's only a couple bucks because it's technically like a bag. But because it is connected to Moe, a luxurious brand of alcohol, it sells for more. And, you know, that's what you just got to think of, you know. I know that there's some like Nintendo bags that sell for like $100. There's Pokemon binders with no cards inside, just the binders from when Pokemon came out in 1999 or whatever it was, that sell for over $100 too. So if you find it at the garage sale and you open them up and there's no cards inside, you could probably, you know, convince them to sell it to you really cheap because you're like, ah, damn, no cards inside, that sucks. And like, ha ha ha, can I get this for cheap then? And then they say yes, not knowing that you're fucking walking away with $100 item. So I haven't really worded that well. I've articulated what I'm talking about, but in a really bad way. You know, I'm not the best speaker. Yeah, you should get it. You should get it, okay? So yes, that's what I sold. You need to be keeping your eye out for those things, you know, empty bags, empty binders, empty anything that's connected to having another purpose, carrying something valuable. If it's empty, good, we can still sell that. Now again, just like always, there's a couple of other things that I sold this week. You can see all the photos on the Flip Weekly newsletter. If you want to jump onto flipweekly.com, check it out, read about a few more sales, see the photos for some of this stuff if you haven't seen them yet. You know, it helps to visualize what I'm talking about. When they say a picture says 1,000 words. That's not what it is, is it? A picture, I don't know. I'm not really thinking straight, A, just because I'm not feeling the best, but that's what I sold for this week. Now, before I hang up on you, I want to talk real quickly about the return that made my blood boil earlier last month, or in April now. On the 12th of March, that's when it happened. It was the pack of Pokemon cards that I sold, a $500 pack, $19.99 Pokemon cards. This is a lot of Pokemon, but I swear I don't sell that much Pokemon. The guy sent, I mean, you know the story. If you don't know the story, go back and listen to the podcast or read the newsletter. The guy was basically trying to scam me, and he opened a return request on the 12th of March. We went through a back and forth. There's some interesting conversations there. The guy has until the 4th of April to return them to me, or the dispute is closed and returned in my favor. And as of today, which is the 2nd of April, this will come out on the 3rd of April, the return has yet to be initiated. So I've bought the label, but this guy has not put it in the post. So I'm thinking that the, not the threats, but the, how do I make it sound like I wasn't willing to like fuck this guy so bad? Telling him that I was going to take this further because I thought it was fraudulent behavior has scared him into submission, and he hasn't initiated the return. So he has until the 4th. I don't think he's going to do it if he hasn't done it by now. You know, he requested it on the 12th of March. That was, you know, almost a month ago by now. So he has until Friday to put this in the mail. Otherwise, it's going to be like found in my favor, which is amazing news. It's amazing news because this guy really, really made me angry, man. Like I wasn't going to drive to his house, but I was like, I was like fucking daydreaming about it. You know what I mean? But yeah, really happy about that. I will be happier once the 4th of April has been and gone, because you know, he can still give me that fucking surprise tomorrow or the next day. I don't think he will, but pray for me, right? Like, yeah, so that's really good news. I'm happy about that. It's still a shame that he ripped open the pack. I thought they would be sealed till the end of time. But he opened them up and I don't have to go through jumping all through all the hoops of refunding $500 or refunding $250. But if you haven't read the conversation between me and him, it's worth reading just to see how full of shit this guy is. So go back and read that. Let me know what you think. As always, you can hit me up on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I downloaded TikTok the other day because I thought I'd post some videos there. And I posted like 8 videos at one time, which apparently you shouldn't do. And I got like 0 views on every single one of them. So I'm like, I don't know how to TikTok. And I think that's like the most fucking old man thing I have ever said. I don't know how to TikTok. So yeah, hit me up on all those socials. If you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe. I don't think I've got a single review of the podcast. I'd love a review, right? A good review. Yeah, hopefully you have some luck in the thrift. Hopefully you have some luck in the garage sales on Saturday. I don't know how I'm going to be feeling on Saturday if I'm passed out by then from whatever I'm coming down with. I'll definitely be getting some drugs. But yeah, hopefully we can hit up the garage sales. Next week's issue is going to be fucking massive. It's going to be fucking massive. I can tell you that now. And I have a few things planned for like something that's going to be a month in advance, and I'm really excited for it. So yeah, thanks again for listening. This has been Matt at Flip Weekly. I'll see you again next week, and thanks for listening again.
Flip, 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 flip,
flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip, flip,